I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm real good, Corey. Thank you so much. Thank you so, so much for asking. How are you, America? How art thou? Everybody have a good Monday. Everybody enjoying their life right now. Everybody just having the best day. I hope. I hope you had a great Monday. I hope your week's off to a tremendous start. Lamar Jackson's is. Just five touchdowns through the air, one on the ground last night. No big deal. Just another day for Lamar. Also, hate to be Todd Bowles this morning.
Lamar.
That would be odds on betting favorite for NFL MVP for the third time. So, Lamar.
So what?
He's
getting paid. Good on him.
He is getting paid a lot.
Paid, and then he actually needs to win, you know, some playoff games.
Yeah, you know, it's him by himself. Him by himself.
Well, everything else was just him by himself, but as soon as I bring that up, then suddenly he's a team guy. So, all right. MVP is an individual award, but he will go down in history if he cannot make it to a Super Bowl as another guy who was a really good player but couldn't get it done.
He and Josh Allen both in the category of players who were had the unfortunate coincidence of being born around the same time as Patrick Mahomes, which, by the way, I want you to know before we get here, because I don't want to start today on a sour mode. I'm in a great mood today. Zoe, later on, you and I are going to listen to a radio host who went after Patrick Mahomes, and I am going to defend him vociferously today.
Who, the host or Patrick Mahomes?
Mahomes.
Okay.
Mahomes, because there's this narrative being spun right now about Patrick Mahomes that I think is bad and wrong.
That he's a game manager, and that the only reason why he's winning is because he's an Andy system. And there's I'm just guessing.
It's along those lines. It's not unfair to say it's along those lines. Effectively, the argument right now is that statistically speaking, Patrick Mahomes is a bottom mid quarterback. And statistically speaking, that's actually correct.
For the season? For sure.
Yes.
Overall, they keep putting him up against Tom Brady's stats, and he's winning every time. So,
at
this point of their career.
I mean, you're not wrong about that. And there's plenty of questions we can ask, but the question mark is Mahomes okay? And I'm actually going to tell you why, if you're freaking out about Patrick Mahomes right now, and the fact that, again, statistically, he's still, Lamar Jackson, we talked about it a second ago, is plus 275 to win the NFL MVP award this year. And Mahomes is like plus 450.
Yeah, it's a popularity award. I mean, what's it get? I mean, it looks good on your resume, for sure. But in the end, it's not a championship. And if you ask Lamar, and I'm sure people have, he'd rather have a championship.
Literally asked him last night after the game was over. They're like, hey, man, you're in that, like, during the course of that game, the Vegas odds shifted. During the course of that game, Lamar went from, like, third to first in the betting market. And they're like, well, you know, how you feel about this? What does this mean to you? And he's like, effectively, and I'm paraphrasing, and I'm not particularly close, but you could hear the intonation of the voice. He's like, I don't give a damn, dog. I want a ring. I don't care. I don't care about that. I want a ring. Which, of course he doesn't. He's got two. But he would also become the youngest ever three-time award winner if he was to get it this year. Again, I believe him. I don't think he cares about it. I don't think it matters to him. However, while I will say this, the NFL's MVP award is less of a popularity contest than the Heisman Trophy. I will stand on that. It is less of a, I do think if you were to go back and look at MVPs year by year, more often than not, even if it's not the guy you think should have won, I think more often than not, it's a guy that overall, most of us would agree, deserved a nod that year, was at least in the conversation at the end of the year. And I think you can probably say that about the Heisman Trophy to some degree, but the difference is, I think in the NFL, most of the guys, if not all of the guys we think deserve a nod, are at least in the running. Whereas with the Heisman Trophy, that's not always the case, right? Like you're telling me we haven't had the best player in college football be a running back in how many years now? A dozen? You're telling me that exclusively every year, without question, quarterbacks are the best? I don't think that's true. I will say I do think the NFL MVP, like, I'm sorry, occasionally it should go to an offensive lineman. Ronnie Stanley right now is the MVP of that team. What that guy is doing right now off the offensive line to keep Lamar Jackson alive is impressive. That dude was last night running out into the flats on screens and leveling bros to open up the floor for Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson and these guys off the edge. So I got to think at least once in a blue moon, an O-lineman, a D-lineman, a linebacker, a cornerback, a safety are the best player in football. But I also understand that the way that we have constructed, the way that we operate in the NFL, numbers are the thing. And Lamar Jackson's absolutely in that mix. But I think there's this narrative being built. We're going to come to this a little later in the show. I'll play the audio for you from the Rich Eisen show, which is where this conversation emanated from. I think that there's this narrative being spun about the baby goat right now, about Patrick Mahomes, that he's got 8 picks. He leads the NFL in picks. But I also have to point out, Lonzo, if I asked you right now for an adjective or two to describe the Chiefs' offensive line, it would be what? They would be what? What words would you use to describe the Kansas City offensive
line? Probably better than what you're implying. The interior three are the best in all of football. It's been commented on 1,000 times as far as that goes. The tackles are a little suspect, especially Mr. Let me get a quick start on things.
Every damn snap.
Yeah, I'm okay with the offensive line. By the way, I just checked because I was curious as far as MVPs. It's either been a quarterback or a running back going all the way back to 1982.
Yeah, we've looked at the list before.
1982 was a kicker.
Who won it in 1982?
Mark Moseley.
I should know that off the top of my head, but also I shouldn't, you know? Like, I should, but also I shouldn't.
And then you go back to quarterbacks or running backs.
Yeah.
There's a defensive tackle, 1971.
I was going to say, I know back in the day they Alan used Page. To give it to guys yeah. that didn't play quarterback or running back.
So historically, this is just a quarterback or running back award. That's all it is.
Oh, I'm not disagreeing. Because, again, the way NFL football is constructed in 2024, considering how much the game has evolved to make quarterbacks the most important person on the field, it doesn't shock me that they win not a majority, the overwhelming majority of the MVP awards. And I would say that more often than not, when a quarterback gets it, the quarterback that gets it is usually the right quarterback.
All right. I don't know if you know this, but I'm curious. You said he jumped from 3-1. Who was 1 before last night?
Josh Allen would have been my guess.
So you don't?
I don't know off okay. the top of my head. Right. I know he went from 3-1, and I know Mahomes went from 1-2. I believe it was Josh Allen that was 1, who is now 3, I think. But we'll see. I'll tell you, now I will say this, as much as Lamar Jackson's an absolute dog, this is why the MVP conversation is fun to me. Because you know who to me the MVP of this team is? Derrick Henry. And it's not just because my man's reeling off 80 plus yarders like he did last night, even though he did not score a touchdown when I needed him to. Even though he's reeling off 80 yarders, and that's obviously a big help. Do you know why Derrick Henry's the MVP? And this doesn't show up on a stat sheet, never will. This isn't something that is quantifiable, though I think if you know ball, you understand the importance. It's because every time 22 is on the field and 22 takes a step, you've got to account for that guy. You've got to keep an eye on him, and it opens the field up tremendously for Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is in the spot Lamar Jackson's in because of Derrick Henry, which is why I said during this offseason, I think Derrick Henry is going to be the most consequential addition to any team in the offseason across the entire league. I think what Henry's going to do for this offense is not going to be, it'll be measurable in terms of the yardage that he gets. It'll be measurable in terms of the, you know, the ability that he brings to the football field. It'll be measurable in terms of those 80-yard snap-offs and the fact that if you're inside of the five, Derrick Henry is running through somebody's damn chest to score. But what Derrick Henry does in terms of opening the field up is something else. Speaking of that, not a guy that's in the MVP conversation right now, but how about Kyler Murray with his touchdown scamper last night? Was consistent with the football. Zoe, have you come around any on Kyler Murray with his Cardinals this year? I mean, they're only 3-4, but that's a team that had, I think their over-under win total on the season was either 5 or 6, and they're 2 wins away from topping it.
Have you?
Have I come around? I was never, like, he was always a guy that I'm like, it's in there. It's in there. But I put Kyler Murray in the same boat that I did, not anymore, but in the same boat I did with BY in that he was placed into a franchise for, and I'm not saying Kyler Murray was like the model of what I want out of my quarterback.
I don't know if you knew this. I don't know if you knew this, but you probably have seen a lot of the ads. New Call of Duty. Enjoy it while you can. enjoy it while you can, because his stats and everything about to go down.
We have made a point in the past of the fact that there is, and again, causation does not equal correlation. Okay, however, there's also a chart. So there's a chart that comes out once a year that if you plot out Kyler Murray's offensive efficiency, any time that a new Call of Duty game drops, so does Kyler Murray's offensive efficiency. And it's kind of one of those things that you're like, haha, that's funny, but also I don't know if it's really a joke. You know, I can't really say for certain. It's again, causation doesn't equal correlation. There's another graph I saw one time, Zoe, that it plotted like shark attacks versus the presidential election or something.
I get it. But in this case, if I recall, there was contract. Stuff in contracts and things like that.
There was. The Cardinals actually got in a bit of hot water because when they signed Kyler Murray to his first extension, they put a homework clause in there. Basically, what they wanted to do was put tracking software on his iPad and say, you have to spend X amount of time studying the play iPad in order to make sure you're learning this offense. And if you don't, it's going to start dinging your salary. And people are like, yo, you what? Why Kyler Murray? Like, this doesn't happen. And there were a lot of people that were playing up like it was a race thing or it was a privilege thing or it was this, that, and the other. And it's kind of one of those things where it's like, especially with the Players Association having the power that it does, a team can't come out and go, he plays too many video games, man. Like, here's the graph. You can't trot that graph out as the reason that Kyler Murray is the only quarterback in the NFL that literally gets told, do your homework or you're grounded.
Yeah, it's not like having a clause where you can't ride a motorcycle or you can't play basketball or something like that. But it's similar to that. And he does play video games. I mean, it's out there. And Call of Duty just happens to be one of his favorites.
The new one looks good, too,
by the way. And there's a new one. We're seeing all the ads.
Have you seen the commercials for it?
Yeah.
It looks pretty good.
That dude that shows up on everything, including trying to hit Scott Van Pelt with the football machine.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, it is.
That's pretty funny. All right, so we're going to talk a lot of NFL on the radio broadcast today. Looking forward to that. We got to talk some college football as well. Tuesday is always a fun day because we get to look back at the weekend that was with a little bit of perspective. We get to look back with the emotion kind of subsiding a bit from the weekend. So we will do that. We will also go ahead and start looking towards Lonzo, the NBA's regular season begins tonight. And I'm going to tell you, there is a banger right out of the gate. The Knicks and the Celtics go at it tonight live from the Boston Garden in downtown Boston, Massachusetts. I think this is an Eastern Conference Finals preview. I think these two teams are matching up again in the Eastern Conference Championship. We're bringing back the 80s rivalry, baby, the Knicks and the Seas tonight at Boston Gadden. So we're going to talk some NBA. We'll give our preseason prognostications, predictions, and projections coming up later on in the radio broadcast. We got your audio blitz coming up at 8 o'clock this afternoon. And I will tell you that had a conversation with Marty. Well, with Marty's manager yesterday. Had a conversation with Marty's manager, and right now, tentatively scheduled to have him on the show on Thursday. I'm going to say tentatively because I'm tired of jinxing interviews. It's like five in a row that as soon as I announce it on the air, I get popped.
Where are you going to fit him in on Thursday?
Well, likely what's going to happen is I'm going to record it on Wednesday evening.
Ah. Okay.
And then once he gets done with his day, and mad, I talked to his manager yesterday, and he's on assignment, and I wasn't even mad. They sent him up to West Point to do a piece with the Army football team.
There you go.
And I'm like, all right, I accept that. I was going to get real mad if they're like, oh, they sent him to Athens. Again with Georgia? But they didn't. They sent him up to West Point to cover Army, and I am all in for Marty taking 10 minutes away from this show to go cover the Army football team, who, by the way, is a top 25 football team now. Shout out to the Knights. Shout out to West Point. So hopefully, tentatively, theoretically, we'll have them on Thursday morning. It may be replayed from the night before. I don't care. I'm glad to have him on the show. I will tell you,
you didn't have to say it. You could have just said, we're going to work him in. I mean, you know.
No, it's fine. I don't mind.
Because Thursday's very busy as far as interviews go.
It is. We got Lulu Kessin. We got Hayton Ass Mario. We got Fight Club. We got Rashad Beard all up in here. And if we add Marty to the mix, we do. I will say, Zoe, and I'll see if it ends up getting recorded, I think that's good. Because if it's recorded in the afternoon, you know what I can do. I can get showered. I can hit the air blower, and I can get the swoop working. And then I won't say anything about it, but we'll just play the video next day, and I'll let you be the unbiased judge of the swoop v. swoop competition between Marty and I that he doesn't know we're having.
I don't know if I can be unbiased as far as that goes because I'm already leaning one direction.
Oh, Marty's the winner.
Yeah.
Marty's the answer.
I mean, you know, I've seen that thing a bunch of times. And he probably has help. I'm guessing he doesn't do that himself, but, you know, it could be wrong.
I don't know. I do my own swoop. You know, and I feel like I'm not as good. I don't have the swoop Marty has, but I feel like I'm in the game.
Yeah, but
I'm in the swoop game.
If you're on national TV and you got people who do that thing, I mean, for a living.
That's fair.
You let them do that thing.
That's fair. All right. We'll let you know how it goes, where we're at. Let's do this. Let's run to a break. When we come back here in just a minute, we're just diving right in. We got a lot of NFL talk to get through the gate today, including Mike Tomlin being unintentionally the most hilarious person on planet Earth. We're going to talk about that coming up in a minute. We're going to talk about Amari Cooper and the Bills and what that team looked like this weekend and more. What a show we got lined up. Don't go anywhere. Rob Lonzo and you, the Rob Brown Show, is on The Fan Upstate.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate, the great one, Lonzo. Rob Brown with you here on an Upstate Tuesday AM. We have got we got a lot we're bouncing around on right now. One of the things I would like to dial in on today is we spent quite a bit of time yesterday on the landscape in collegiate football. I'd like to talk quite a bit of NFL football on the show today because there is no shortage of it. I'm going to use this later on in the audio blitz as well, but I love this clip. I heard this clip last night and I was dying, and I'll tell you why. It is because of the fact, aside from the fact that Mike Tomlin is maybe, or at least in this moment, unintentionally the funniest dude in the National Football League. They're like, you know how I say all the time, the reason we love sports is drama, right? We love drama. If you think about it, the greatest games you've ever watched, they're great because of drama, right? And drama can include high levels of competition or not, but we love the drama. We love good comeback stories. We love an underdog. We like drama. And there was drama in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, as Russell Wilson made his return as the starter, his debut as the starter of the Pittsburgh Steelers this weekend. And there was a quarterback sneak called for Russ Wilson over the weekend, and Russ was able to pile through and pick up a first down and all that, like sealed the game. It's all well and good. Russell Wilson, of course, after getting booed and chants of Justin Fields' name echoed through Heinz Field this weekend, Russell Wilson came back out and led the Steelers to 34 unanswered points in a demo job of the New York Jets. Well, one of the problems that I have, and if you're watching the stream, you're about to see Lonzo's eyes get real big. One of the problems that I do have with people who cover sports in the media is that sometimes they try to manufacture drama for the sake of a story. So creating a story, right? And obviously, there's not much more drama.
Come on, that doesn't happen.
It absolutely does. And I don't think that it is as frequent as a lot of you elect to believe that it is. But
Rob, all media, they call things right down the middle. They don't put bias in there. They just report the story.
I literally just said that. I appreciate your sarcasm. I'm dripping in it over here. But I literally just said that's not the case.
Why are you getting mad? I'm just saying.
Because there's this whole conversation for not this radio program about the concept that is being created by, about the media by those who are covered by it that I don't appreciate.
I'm sorry, I was talking about sports media.
I know you were. I'm talking about not sports media, media in general. But again, that's why I said
sports show. We're talking about sports.
I agree.
Stuff. Okay, I don't know why you got to go over there.
Because you asked why I had, or you came at why I made it hostile. That's the reason. You asked, I answered. The reason is because I think people have developed this thing where, oh, that guy's got a notepad and a pencil. He's an evil person, and that's not the case.
Really?
Somebody worked in marriage. Yes.
I don't think I've ever heard that before. Just because you believe something so strongly that you're going to sway things your way doesn't mean you're evil. That just means that's your belief.
No. It is the, okay. We all know what both of us are saying right now. We're going to leave that right there. Okay. So what I am going to say is this. Some people don't make it easy to defend the position of those with no pads and pencils. All right. This intrepid young reporter who got an opportunity to ask Mike Tomlin a question at the press conference about Russell Wilson, listen to the way she shapes the question and Mike Tomlin's response to it. This is from the press conference after the Steelers win over the Jets. That's my favorite answer. And by the way, I didn't clip anything out of context. That's what Mike said, and he moved on. That's what he said, he moved on. He said, it was just a sneak. She said, what does it tell you about his resilience and his strength? And I know what she's doing. Like, I get it. She's trying to offer up on a silver platter an opportunity for Mike Tomlin to come out and say, oh, he's so brave, he's so strong, he's so courageous, he's such a men's man.
He's a football player who made a football play that he was supposed to make.
That's Mike.
Yeah.
Mike.
I mean, that's but in the end, that's really what it comes down to.
Listen, I understand. That is what it comes down to. And that's why Mike's answer was Mike's answer. It was a sneak. It was just a sneak, because it was. Now, again, I get what she's trying to do. There's been drama on this show about this situation, right? Lonzo and I have been going back and forth about Justin Fields and Russell Wilson since Russell Wilson came to the team and Justin Fields came to the team.
There's no drama. I have my favorite player and you have yours. That's not drama.
It's not my favorite player.
Your favorite player won out.
Yes, you know, Russell.
Way to go, you.
Russell corny-ass cheeseball Wilson is my favorite player.
Come on. Let's ride.
Let me cook! Listen, There's been drama on this show about this situation. I understand what this young lady's doing. She's giving Mike the opportunity to take his quarterback who just got his first start and didn't just win but balled out in the win and praise and elevate and sing the good word of Russell Wilson out there. And also, maybe, possibly, in a situation where Steelers fans for about 15 minutes were chanting for the return of Justin Fields before they, you know, stopped doing that because Russ cooked. Let's ride. Maybe stir the pot a little bit. Maybe stir up a little drama about the QB1 position in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, despite the fact that you, me, and everybody else knows that you are trotting Russell Wilson out again this week when the Steelers take back to the football field. But I appreciate Mike Tomlin not taking the bait right there. I appreciate Mike Tomlin straight up saying, hey, look, it was a QB sneak. That's what he's supposed. There is only one time that you should be talking about a QB sneak, and that's if it fails, right? That's if it fails. If you're in a fourth and one or you're in a goal to go from the one and you run a QB sneak and your QB doesn't get it, and even then, you're not really talking about the QB. You're talking about why'd you make that call and what went wrong. But this young lady served up an opportunity for Mike Tomlin. And I love this as a football coach. I love this as a football coach because if you say anything but that, you are creating drama. If you say anything but that, you are already splitting and pardon me for using the expression, but you're creating a Pittsburgh civil war, right? Because there are still not as many as there were about one quarter into that football game on Sunday, but there are still Steelers fans or Justin Fields fans who believe that Justin Fields should get his QB1 spot back.
I think there are people who look at the team and see that they were winning, and usually on teams, I believe it's historical, I could be wrong, that when a quarterback is winning, they keep the job, especially when there was a competition for it. Not like it's, you know, Josh Allen gets hurt and whoever his backup is, I don't know who he is, I'm guessing you don't either, plays well enough to win the game. When Josh Allen comes back, he gets the job.
Sure.
But in this case, there was a battle in camp, supposedly, for the job.
I mean, there was. Russell Wilson was QB1 about 2 weeks before the regular season started, and then obviously he went down with a hamstring injury or whatever it was that kept him out of the spot.
Bunion, something like that.
But again, this is one of those spots, and you guys wonder why this is such a passionate topic, or at least something that comes up on the show all the time. This is why I tell you, do not look at wins and losses as quarterback stats, because they're not. They're team stats. All right? They are a team stat. This is not the National Quarterbacking League. It's the National Football League. Played by football teams, not individual quarterbacks against each other. A quarterback
I'm guessing all defenders would go totally against you on that.
I don't care. They would be wrong. It is not a team stat. If it was, then we would just have QB skill competitions every week. Right? If it was a quarterback stat, we wouldn't play football. We would trot out 32 quarterbacks and have them to, it's Monday night quarterback competition. Today's matchup, Patrick Mahomes v. Josh Allen. Tonight's activities, throwing a ball into a trash can, throwing a ball through a swinging tire, throwing a ball that's on fire, whatever.
Oh, by the way, people would watch that.
100% I'd watch that. Are you kidding me? Remember the old Pro Bowl weekend when they did the QB skills competitions?
Yeah,
that was my favorite part.
They do that again.
Oh, do they bring that?
Yeah, but don't they
do like dodgeball and stuff now?
They do that too, but they also have the quarterback competition. They brought that back.
I'm going to keep it a buck. I haven't watched Pro Bowl stuff in outside of the game itself in a very long time. If they do that, I'm back.
Yeah, it has its own special night. It's usually like on Thursday for the entire weekend.
Is it like the names? Is it Mahomes and Allen in the game?
It's names.
Are they
for
like,
sure.
Here comes.
Well, Mahomes is usually busy that weekend.
That's also true. That's
fair. Because remember, they moved it to the weekend before the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So.
But this is why I scream at you people. Quarterbacks should they get elevated credit above other positions for wins and losses? Yes. They get more credit and more blame for wins and losses, but it is not a QB stat. As is evidenced, you can absolutely say this win was because of Patrick Mahomes or because of Josh Allen. And you can also point out that this team is winning or losing in spite of the play of a quarterback. But it's not a quarterback stat. And I would make the argument that the Pittsburgh Steelers were not winning because of Justin Fields. Justin Fields was fine. Fine. They were winning because, as is the case, Mike Tomlin put together a good, well-coached football team. So Mike Tomlin did, I think, a very smart football coach thing here and avoided drumming up any further controversy, avoided drumming up any more drama among Steelers fans by taking the path to say that the win this weekend was because of the guts and grit and determination of Russell Wilson. He said, "I appreciate the question, lady, but he ran a quarterback sneak. That's all the guy did. He ran a QB sneak. Did it tell you anything about his resolve and his resilience and his strength?" My guy, it tells me he ran the ball in from a yard out, as is, you know, the job. All right, we'll talk more NFL coming up later on in the show. Rob Brown, the great Milonzo, and you. It is the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. So speaking of drama, there's a little bit of drama going on right now in Tampa Bay. Last night, at the end of the game, just a little bit over a minute remaining in the contest, and Todd Bowles had his starters out on the football field, and that included Chris Godwin. Now, if you missed it, early in the game, there was already an issue because Mike Evans was out. Mike Evans had a hamstring injury, dropped a touchdown pass and then stayed down, had a hamstring injury, had to leave the contest. So they were already down one of their best wide receivers. Minute and some change left to go. The Tampa Bay offense has the ball. They're down 10. And the starters are still out there, right? The starters are still out there. Chris Godwin goes down, lays out for a catch, gets rolled up on what probably should have been called a hip drop tackle. But whether or not it got flagged is irrelevant. Player lands on Godwin's ankle, dislocated his ankle. You could see it. It was pretty gnarly. Dislocated Godwin's ankle, and we don't know how extensive the injury is. But the fear right now is that Chris Godwin's going to be done for the year. After the game was over, Todd Bowles got asked why your starters were still in the game. And here's how he answered. Fine answer, right? Fine answer. Good with all that.
I think at some point I cut the reporter off and didn't say, why are you trying to imply that he got hurt because he was in the game? He was doing his job. I don't get the line of questioning. You leave them in because that's their job. It's not like college. This is their job. We don't take you out because it's the end of the show and you're feeling we want to protect you and make sure you don't lose your voice at the end of the show. You don't do that. You don't take the plumber out when he's like got just a couple more things to take care of and then the job's done.
Well, you know, if the plumber was doing something that could result in him having his ankle dislocated and not being able to plumb anymore.
Man, being under a sink is dangerous.
I'm not disagreeing. I don't do manual labor. I hire other people to do manual labor. All right? It's part of the reason I'm poor. I pay other people to do stuff for me.
That was a good recovery. That was a good recovery.
No, listen, I get the question. Now, all of that, a fine question. And this is one of those spots where, yeah, there's going to be a philosophical difference, right? And we're going to talk about this with an NBA player later on in the show because Kevin Garnett's upset. As Joel Embiid is not going to play back-to-back games as an NBA player this year. Garnett's like, yo, what? 82 games is the job, bud. Get after it. And we're going to talk about this because on one hand, I get it. They're football players. You send them out there to play, right? And there's a chance to win the game. You send them out there and play. And those of you that already know where I'm going with this segment, hold tight because I'm coming to it. I know there's nefarious intent here. The second thing is you did this when you already know Mike Evans is out and with a hamstring injury, probably at least a couple of weeks, right? So you're already down your number one. Now your number two has a dislocated ankle. Now it's time that Baker's got to go play hero ball because he's probably without his top two receivers for the next foreseeable number of weeks. And you just gave the L back that would have given you the opportunity to take a lead in the NFC South, and now you're right there still fist fighting with the Atlanta Falcons for it. Now, all those things are fair. All those things are fair. I think it is fair to say you keep Godwin out there with a chance to play and a chance to win. I think it's fair to say you're downtown with a buck 07 and no timeouts. You can't get the ball back. Why is that guy out there? Except for this, great one. There is a reason you don't send Godwin out there. There's a reason you don't send any of your starters out there. Here's the reason. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers had already attempted two onside kicks in this football game. Under the new onside kick rules, you are only allowed two onside kick attempts in the NFL now. Which means that even had Godwin caught that football and taken it 60 to the house and scored a tutty, Tampa can't onside kick. They've already exhausted their limited supply of onside kicks. Meaning, even if Tampa scores a touchdown, that game's over. They have already lost. They cannot onside kick at that point. They must kick the ball off to Baltimore. At that point, we'll be under a minute left with no timeouts. They can't win. So now I have to label it. Now I have to label it an organizational failure. Now I have to say it's an organizational failure. Because even if Todd Bowles, who as the head coach, should know that rule. We have already onside kicked twice. We cannot do it a third time. I need my head coach to know that. But even if my head coach doesn't know that, the special teams coordinator should know that. The offensive coordinator should know that. One of the multitude of offensive assistant coaches out there on the football field, or one of the multitude of special teams coaches out there on the football field, should be going to Todd Bowles and going, "Coach, we lost. We can't onside kick again. We have exhausted our onside kicks. We're not allowed to onside kick, which means we can't win this game. Get the starters out of there." Because on any given one play, you could have something crazy happen. Like, I don't know, your number two wide receiver could go down to a dislocated ankle after your number one wide receiver has already left the game with a hamstring injury. And now, in a spot where you are indeed eligible and fist fighting to win the division, now you got to attack it with Baker Mayfield and your top two wide receivers missing. Not a great look. Not a great vibe. Not a good thing. So while if an onside kick's on the table, I got no problem with Chris Godwin being out there. If an onside kick is on the table, that yeah, you do everything you can to go win the game, because the best thing in the world is you win that game, you get the tutty, you get the onside kick, Baker has a hero ball moment, you score a tutty, you win the game outright, you hand Lamar Jackson his second ever loss to an NFC team, and you're right back in the divisional hunt, but somebody on that team, somebody on that sideline with a headset has got to know the rules and has got to know we can't onside kick again, ergo we have lost, ergo we need to pull the starter so nobody gets hurt. That is an organizational failure from top to bottom by the Buccaneers, and it just cost them about their entire offense.
All right. You are never, ever going to convince me, nor the people who have the mindset that you do as far as this goes. Players get hurt in practice. They get hurt in preseason. They get hurt in their shower. He could have been hurt standing on the sidelines when a player fell into his knee or something. That is their job. If they get hurt, it sucks. It really does. But I don't have a problem with him being out there, and I don't understand all that stuff. He's out there doing his job.
You can't win. You are incapable of winning.
Out there doing his job.
Winning is 0.00% possibility.
Still doing his job.
Lonzo, let me ask you this question. I'm good with all that. Are you good with players having no off-season basketball clauses in their contract? Are you good with that? Are you good with them having no ATV and motorcycle clauses?
I am good with whatever the two of them agree with. I mean, that's between them, and it's different for every player. It's Of course, there are rules for everyone collectively, but stuff like that, that's between the individual player, his agent, and the team. I mean, so whatever they decide, the two of them agreed on it. Whether I agree with it or not doesn't matter.
So let me,
I mean, so it's what they agreed on.
Let me rephrase this then. I spent a year of my life as a risk assessment agent for an insurance company. Okay? This was many moons ago in a different lifetime. I spent a year of my life as a risk assessment agent. And my job was to go to jobs, was to go to workplaces, and was to effectively walk around with a camera and a tape recorder and a notepad. And my job was to look around your place of employment and say, that's a hazard, somebody could get hurt doing that, this could hurt somebody, whatever. And my job was to take notes, send it to the insurance company would write up a report, they would send it back to the place that I did this at, and they would make suggestions to the company. Hey, if you change this, if you decrease the angle of that ramp, or you move that staircase over this many feet, we can lower your insurance premiums, right? We can charge you less for insurance because the likelihood that someone gets injured at your place of employment drops dramatically, which means the chance that you ever get sued drops dramatically, which means the likelihood we have to pay out a lawsuit drops dramatically, so we can charge you less. It is never a bad idea to decrease the likelihood of a guy getting hurt. I understand it's his job. Texter said, Rob, where'd that test go? The only reason this is in question, even with not being able to win the game, is that Goblin got hurt. No different than if he gets hurt on play two. Yes, there is. You aren't lost in play two. The game's not over. This game was over. It is about risk assessment and management. This team cannot win without Evans and Godwin. You can win with Evans or Godwin.
All right, I'm gonna kill this argument right here. The Panthers can't win before they go out on the field, but they go out and play.
There is a point to that, though. I don't disagree, but there's a point to that. And the point to that is this team has a bunch of dudes that can get better and can develop for a team that is going to make a run next year. Okay? Can make a run next year. You know what Tampa Bay is capable of doing? Winning the division this year. They can win now. There is a difference between a team that is one and everything else that knows that there is no chance of postseason appearance. Zero. None. Not a nil. There is no making the playoffs for this Carolina Panther team. So they are playing to achieve objectives in 2025. We know that already. That's established as fact. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers can win the division this year. They can go to the playoffs this year. They can make a run this year. You know what they can't do? Win without Evans and Godwin. Again, I think you can win with just Evans, and I think you can win with just Godwin. I don't think you can win without Evans and Godwin. And now both of those guys are shelved. The Evans thing, nothing you can do about it. Hamstring injuries, they happen. The Godwin injury was entirely unnecessary. So the fact that what happened is the reason that argument is wrong. Because if Godwin's not out there, he can't get. Could he get hurt by stubbing his toe on the wall and getting gangrene? Sure. Could he get hurt by sitting down in front of his locker, missing the stool, falling backward, and breaking his coccyx bone? Yes, that could happen. But realistically speaking, those aren't realistic. You know how a guy can get hurt? Playing football unnecessarily in a game that is over and cannot be won. It is a 0.000. There's no 0.01% miracle chance. Maybe we have 11 laterals and we come back and the kicker does a whatever. That's off the table. You can't win this game. 0.0% chance. And if Godwin's on the bench, do you know what happens with Tampa next week? At least Chris Godwin's playing. At least Chris Godwin's out there. This is an organizational failure. The fact that nobody said,
hey, Todd, it's a special teams coordinator.
I don't know why. That's not how those radios work, but not the point.
Hey, Todd, it's your special teams coordinator. We just want you to know that we've already kicked two onside kicks. We can't kick another one, so you may want to. I don't know why I did it there. It's not.
You may want to pull Chris.
Yeah, I just think all that's irrelevant.
How is it irrelevant?
It's irrelevant.
You just lost your best wide receiver.
Yep. Yep. And it's his job to go out there. He was out there doing his job. He got hurt. It sucks. Everything you said was eloquent, the way you slipped in Cossack's bone, which
Thank
I can't
you.
Say.
Thank you.
It was eloquent. But in the end, it's your job, man. Do your job.
I don't know. If we came in here, Zoe, if we came in here and one day
you're not going to convince me.
I'm going to try anyway.
And there are other people out there. You're not going to convince them either.
Just so we're clear. If you and I are doing the show and Chris Evans, Captain America down the hall, opens his door and he goes, "Hey, the tower fell down and Al Gore's internet is broken. You guys are broadcasting to literally no one. Literally no one can hear you. Would you sit here and do a show with me? Because it's your job?" No. You go, "Well, this is dumb. This
all
is
right.
pointless."
First of all, absolutely I would, because it's a lot of fun.
No, you
most
would just,
days.
You would just talk to me, but you wouldn't do a show. Right. We just hang out because we're buddies.
Come on, dude. Come on. If the tower fell, it would probably fall on us and we'd be dead. That's a big tower.
Dude,
if it doesn't fall on us, it's falling on 385, and there's a major problem.
Well, here's what I know. What I know is if I was Todd Bowles, I'd have Chris Godwin available next week. If you were Todd Bowles, you wouldn't. And I will take my team with Chris Godwin over your team without him. I don't know how the argument goes any further than that. My hypothetical team has Chris Godwin next week, and yours doesn't. Who's better? Mine by default.
Okay. All right. Whatever. Are you going to introduce it or are you just going to point?
Sports Flash!
Kyler Murray threw and ran for touchdowns last night as Arizona kicked a walk-off field goal to beat the Chargers. You'll hurt yourself. 17-15. James Conner ran for 101 yards and Greg Dortch caught one touchdown in the win, while Justin Herbert had 349 passing yards but was unable to find the end zone. Arizona moves to 3-4, while the Chargers are 3-3. After putting up 5 touchdown passes and rushing for another, Lamar Jackson is rocketed to the top of the NFL's MVP, according to betting odds. And in the end, what's the matter? I don't know. Jackson has won the award twice and would become the youngest ever 3-time winner if he was to take home the award, which is still pretty cool. Tune in this Friday at 7 p.m. as the Burns Rebels head to Spartanburg to take on the Vikings. It's Burns versus Spartanburg right here on your home for Burns Rebels football, the Fan Upstate.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.